great day to be alive. Let's try that again. It's a great day to be alive. Amen. That's better. You know, I get tired of people saying, you know, every time they pray, they say, oh, God, anoint the speaker. You know, that's all they ever prayed. Then they sit there like they're dead. I'm praying, God, I'm already anointed. Anoint that bunch out there. That's the people that need anointed. But it is a great day to be alive. Every morning I get up now, I thank God I'm still on top of the ground. You know, before I proceed here, let me say how glad I am to be back here. I think the last time I was here, can anybody remember Brother Van Meter was here? He's gone on now. What year was that? Anybody know? 100 years ago. Then I was here once with the famous C.M. Ward. Oh boy, that we had a meeting then. Tell me about it. And I am glad to be here this morning. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm glad to be here. And I really don't go anywhere I don't want to go. And if I'm there, I'm glad to be there. And I don't waste all day telling people how glad I am to be here. But anyway, I'm glad to be here with Brother Lambert, my district superintendent. Whenever I hear him preach, and I'm not kidding you, I always say, God, how did you call me to preach? You know, I never did learn. I studied hermeneutics and homiletics and failed both of them. Because I discovered you could teach an idiot to preach 3 points in a poem. I don't believe that some preachers will go when the rapture sounds. They won't be through with their fifth point. But I respect Brother Lambert. I've known him for many, many years. I was ordained in the Alabama district and have never moved my papers anywhere. They're still there. I think a time or two they wanted to burn them, but they're still there. And we were actually the first missionaries that the district ever sent anywhere. And I owe them. I owe them. I'm in debt this morning. I'm in debt. I'm in debt to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am in debt to the prophets. I am in debt this morning to the apostles. I'm in debt to the founders of this movement. I'm in debt to the people that sent me to the ends of the earth. God, I'm in debt up to here. And the older I get and the further I go, the more I realize that I need to pay that debt. And I've tried. I've tried. Our fathers gave us a great foundation. Less people get the idea, man, that everybody's losers in this business. I can take you to a few graves of men that lived the life, that died in the faith, and never defrauded the service they enlisted in. Amen. Everybody didn't lose in this business. And we owe them a debt. And the least we owe them is to build a righteous church on the foundation that they gave us. And God help us this morning to understand that. When our song leader mentioned the name of his song, their song this morning, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? I am convinced this morning that half of us do not really know who he is. I think in I think we have lost the awe of the name of Jesus. When I started out to preach 53 years ago, we only had two messages, the cross and the coming. And I get hungry sometimes to hear some of the old great messages on the cross. Amen. When men, strong men, sinners would stand up and rush to an altar and cry, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Lead me to the cross. Until when you went out of a service, you felt that there was only one path and it led to Calvary. You believed that every man had to go to Calvary, either to accept it or reject it. We sang songs about the blood. And we'd weep. I remember one night in one of Charles S. Price's meetings. Now, I was a very young man. And I used to follow him around. Because in those years, people went to service not to be entertained. But to see something happen, we went with expectation. What is God going to do tonight? But I remember this night, there must have been 3,000 people in that meeting when we were singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. You know, I'm a little weary today of all this singing off the wall. Some of it sounds like it came off the wall. I get the idea. You know, last year, I traveled a little under 300,000 miles. You talk about getting inside of churches. I get inside of churches across this nation and around the world. Every time they light up the old projector, my heart sinks. I say, here we go again. And I just want to start singing, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles on the... That's what it sounds like half of the time. Because nobody, you know, they... Are you with me?
Amen.
And we've gotten into this praise bit. All we have to do is praise, and we say, we just sing praises. I'm going to tell you something, mister. He only accepts our praises when they're accompanied by obedience. That's all. We can sing praises till our eyes fall out, but until we get up off of our blessed assurance and begin obeying him, we're in trouble. I get amazed. And you know, sometimes they get those courses in there crosswise. And they're like this on the wall. Everybody's cockeyed Sunday morning looking up, you know. And you wonder, how in the name of God? Where has good old backwoods Gingham Calico worship gone? I don't know how I got on that. And in this meeting, I saw the Holy Spirit move and whop 3,000 people. They went flat, just went. And the next thing I saw was people by the hundreds getting up, running to that altar, screaming. God did more in 5 minutes than we can do in 5 years. Amen. With just one move of His Holy Spirit. Amen. And he wiped it all away. When that happens, you don't have to give people a little book on how to get saved. I didn't mean to get into that. But anyway, the question was, who is Jesus? Is that what you said? Who is Jesus? That's a good question. When the centurion, you know, isn't it amazing that God sometimes takes sinners to show us where we are? That centurion that came to Jesus was not a follower of Jesus. He was a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier. And when you read that testament, that New Testament, you find out that almost every setting is a military setting. You know, I was just thinking the other day, this movement has always been a militant movement up to now. Always has been. We always sang songs about marching, fighting, lifting up the banner. Amen. We were always in the battle. Amen. I'm at the battlefront for my Lord. You remember? Our testimonies were militant. We were a bunch of fighters. We didn't let the devil take over. Daddy Bell, one of the early founders of this movement, when he was hadn't had the baptism too long, and he believed in divine healing. And one of his daughters got sick. And he just kept praying for her. The neighbors got excited. And one evening they came over to Daddy Bell's house, knocked on the door, and Daddy Bell went to the door to see who was there. And one of the main spokesmen said, "Sir, we know your daughter's sick and you haven't had a doctor, and we have come as a committee to take your daughter to the hospital." And old Daddy Bell reached out, got a hold of the necktie of that chairman, gave it a yank, and he said, "Look, bud, when I want you to bark, I'll pull your chain." We produced warriors that would fight. Now we want to... Now I'm not going to tell you what we're doing now. When you read that book, who was it at the cross? Who was it that was in charge of the crucifixion? It was a Roman centurion. And when he died, it was not one of his followers. It was a Roman centurion that said, "Surely he is the Son of God." Amen? It was two centurions that took Paul to Felix. Felix turned Paul over into the hands of a Roman centurion. And they saved his life. Strange how God uses these things. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, the first Gentile to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Julius. And so one day, here comes a Roman centurion to Jesus. You remember what he said in the 8th chapter of Matthew? Don't turn to it. I don't like people trying to find scripture when I'm trying to preach. They never find it. She turns to him when I'm half through and says, "I found it." He said, "My servant lieth at home, grievously ill." Jesus said, "No problem. I will come and heal him." And there was a scenario unparalleled in the history of that book. That centurion saluted and said, "Sir, hold it. You don't have to come to my house." Amen. "Because I know who you are." Woo! "I know who you are. You're not just another healing evangelist that pushes people over. I know who you are." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? A Roman centurion knew more about Jesus than the disciples themselves. He said, "I know who you are. You do not serve two masters. I know who you are because I know who I am. You are a man under authority." I know who you are because I'm a man under authority. Our problem today is, my God, we want to be the authority. We are not the authority. The day I learned I wasn't God, it helped me. I learned I wasn't even the Lord of the harvest. That devastated me. Then I learned I wasn't even in management. I said, "God, what am I in?" He said, "You're in sales." That's all any of us are in this morning. Amen. We're not God. We're not the Lord of the harvest. Quit acting like it. It'll melt your butter. You just keep in mind this whole meeting that you invited me. I'm concerned. You tell me about it, man. When you hit as many churches, and I preach usually to large crowds. It's not very often I get down to a crowd this size. And the problem with a crowd this size, it gets too personal. You know, at a big crowd, you can say anything. The smaller the crowd, you're in trouble, Sterling. Keep that in mind. I am under authority. We're under authority this morning. I know who you are. He said, "Sir, the reason I know is I know to whom you have bowed your knee." What did Jesus say? "I do nothing of myself, but only of my Father." How far we've gotten away from that. Because we are in the era of might and power. You can build buildings with might and power. You can build crowds with might and power. But you can't build His church with might and power. It has always been by His Spirit. Amen? By His Spirit. When you try any other way, you are in trouble. Amen? Crowds are not His church. Buildings are not His church. His church is a blood-washed people. Amen? That's His church. The connotation we're putting on church anymore is wild. We've taken the signs off of our churches, House of Salvation, and we've replaced them with House of Healing. Because that's all we talk about. Everybody get healed. Let's sit around Tuesday morning, talk about healing. Let's do a series of sermons on healing. Healing for the mind. I never heard so much healing for the mind. My God, you'd think everybody's nuts. Don't you pray for my mind. I still got mine. Let's go to a seminar. That's the next thing. We don't go to church, we go to seminars. God, I see boys, Brother Lambert, I see boys that go to every church building, grow a seminar, everywhere over the whole nation. And they still got 20 people in their churches. But the next one that comes up, they're on their way. I'll tell you how churches are built. No, I better not. I built a pile of them. My wife and I, directly or indirectly, I've got them down, over 3,000 churches somewhere in this world. You tell me about it. I put 13 Bible schools across Eurasia and just about raised all of the money to do it with. Founded Continental Bible College in Brussels, Belgium. Opened two fields in Africa. Took the gospel to 15 tribes that never heard of Jesus until they heard it from us. We lived in mud huts and tin shacks. We lived every way you could live. We've been sick. We've been depressed. We've been brokenhearted. We've been crushed and kicked around. But I thank God this morning that I can still do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. I have help. Amen. I have help. I'm rich. Rich in Christ Jesus. Whew. We're living in a day when everybody needs counseling. Dear God, you wonder who's tending the store. You can't get in touch with the pastor anymore. He's counseling. So you say to the secretary, does he eat? Sometime. I don't stay in pastors' homes. You know why? They got telephone cables on their telephone longer than this. They follow you around. They're talking on the phone, counseling somebody. Shoot, I got tired of that. Take me to the hotel. Tell me about it. I'll tell you the kind of counseling we got. You want to hear about it? You didn't go to the church office because we didn't have any church office. We were had storefronts. And our educational building was 9 curtains pulled every which way. And you didn't bug the pastor by telephone because we didn't have any telephone. Thank God. So you went to the pastor's house. And you walked in and you said, hey man, I got me a problem. He said, I know you got a problem. I've been watching you. You're full of the devil. Get on your knees. Repent. God will forgive you. Next case. That's all there was to it. You never went back. You knew what to do. Get on your knees. Repent. They kicked the crutches off from under you. You fell flat in your face and laid there if you didn't want to get up. But that's when men knew who Jesus was. They knew the power of his name. I know who you are. You don't have to come to my house. Because one day, sir, I bowed my knee to the Roman Empire. I bowed my knee to the emperor, and I became a Roman soldier. And sir, when I became a Roman soldier, I gave up all my titles to anything. Do you hear me? The clothes I wear, sir, are not mine. You remember when God called you? I remember when He called me. Boy, I was excited. Before it was all over, man. Before He blessed me, I had to give it all up. And I realized that I was nothing. That He was everything. Jesus. Jesus. When I bowed my knee to the kingdom. Sir, when I bowed my knee to the Roman Empire, I bowed to authority. I was in submission to authority. That's why I know who I am. You see, that's why I know who you are. Because you bowed your knee to the kingdom of your Father. Amen? You bowed to authority. That's why you have authority. Amen? Because authority is always equated to your submission to the authority. Amen? And we've got to keep in mind that there is nothing good in us. I've reached a conclusion. After 53 years of watching men fail, I've reached a conclusion how much raw talent, personality, money, power, and popularity can one of God's men take. I've reached a conclusion, Brother Goodwin, not much. Not much. Because when you become the authority, you have lost who Jesus is, and you're on your own. Amen. Amen. And money, popularity, power, and talent will only take you so far. Amen. Until you need a miracle. And then you're lost. Then you're lost. I know who you are. Because I bowed my knee. And because I gave up everything. Do you know, sir? I know. You see, sir, I am for the state. The empire. I am to the empire. I am for the empire. I am responsible, sir, for the state of the empire. You and I this morning are more responsible than just for our own well-being. Amen. Amen. We are people under authority. You forget that in your debt. Under authority. And I know who you are. You bowed your knee to the authority. Amen. And now you have authority. You see, we want authority this morning without submission. We want authority without commitment. But there comes a time when your talent runs out and your goodness runs out and your popularity runs out and you need what you should have had all along. Amen? You need authority that you realize one day you don't have. When Jesus said to them, these things come by fasting and prayer. He didn't say they came by singing or preaching. He didn't say preach without ceasing. Although some of us try it. He didn't say sing without ceasing. And I love singing. He said pray without ceasing. Amen. Amen. And if we want authority, and I've got news for you. Every person in here this morning is bowing your knee to something. No man lives without bowing his knee to something. Men are bowing their knee this morning to their own genius. No. The day I bowed my knee to him. The day I really bowed my knee, I don't mean figuratively speaking, I mean heart-wise, soul-wise, life-wise, I bowed it all to him because I was nothing. I was nothing. When he reached down his hand for me, he reached down to the bottom of the barrel. And for 53 years, every day of my life, I thank God he loved me enough to call me. To call me. And I've tried. I've tried. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been. It's not easy. I remember the first man, when God called me to preach, I went out and I met a deacon in the church and I said, oh, I said, you know what? He said, what? I said, God's called me to preach. Wild Irish kid off the streets of East Pittsburgh, full of that devil, he saved me. And here I'm telling somebody, God's called me to preach. He said, you? I said, me. He had to listen to me preach before he died. God will get you. What time am I supposed to stop? I preached till my water's gone. I was in a church recently and when I got up to preach, they handed me a communion glass full of water. God will kill every one of them. And I heard you said something last night. Did he say something last night? Yeah, you did. But I know who you are. Isn't that beautiful? He said, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do, sir, is what? What? Say the word. Amen. Say the word. What is the word? Jesus. All you have to do is say the word. Mister, we've lost that. We've lost that. We've lost that. Now we go around saying, I have the gift. Got it. And no matter how I live, I got the gift. You ain't got nothing. You're like the fella sliding into home base yelling, I'm safe. And the umpire said, hey, man, you ain't nothing till I say so. We ain't nothing until he says who we are. Amen? It's not what I say, it's what he says. What does he say? Who does he say that I am? Just say the word. You remember the song we used to sing, there's power in the name of Jesus. We used to go around saying Jesus. Jesus. Amen. You've heard me tell this before, but I remember many years ago preaching to a great crowd of Africans who had never heard of Jesus, and I was telling them about the big chief in the sky. When down through the middle came a witch doctor, he walked up to me, he had a club. I've seen witch doctors heal. Witch doctors raise the dead. You say the devil can't do that. Yes, he can. The devil will raise the dead if he can destroy 10,000 souls in the process. The devil can imitate anything we do. He can imitate anything we have. He can imitate. I've seen the devil imitate the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can imitate salvation, divine healing. But there's one thing he can't touch, and that's the blood that trickled down Calvary's cross. There is power in the blood, and no devil in hell can get by the blood. No devil in hell will get by the blood. No devil. No devil. We can spout scripture, theology, doctrine to the devil till our eyes fall out. Buddy, it doesn't scare him one whit. But when you, in the name of Jesus and the blood that trickled down Calvary's cross comes into play, then the devils in hell tremble. Amen? It's the only thing, the only defense they can't get through. Amen? It is still true when I see the blood. Woo, I will pass over you. Oh, hallelujah for the blood. And that devil walked up to me. Said, I'm Mamnatunyamba. Just like that. I'm going to kill you. Now what do I do? I don't even have my Matthew Henry commentary, devil, P-E-V. I don't even have my last cassette from that seminar I went to on how to rebuke the devil. God is home, I'm here. I'm standing alone on the southern rim of the Sahara. There's no pews, there's no organ playing, there's no choir singing. Hey, it's just me. And I've opened my big mouth, and I've told all those people about Jesus. Now I'm on the spot. That devil's going to kill me. I know what to do. But being a good Irishman, I did make up my mind that if he was going to kill me, you'd have to work at it. In those years, I had a loud voice. And I just about ruined it over Sunday. Lord, help us. There's going to be a special place in eternity for sound people. I was in Wisconsin over the weekend. God, that poor guy with that controls, if he is an operator of PA systems, I'm Chinese. He killed me. But I got my Bible, and I got right up in his face. And I got right up, I mean, nose to nose, buddy, eyeball to eyeball. I could hear his eyeballs clicking. He didn't know what was coming off. But I filled my lungs with air, and I screamed at him right in his face, Jesus, and I hung up on Jesus. And that devil froze. I said, it works. So I screamed again, and he kind of moved, and I said, hey. I kept screaming, and I got him back into a millet grain patch, and I helped him out of town. And I came back to that crowd. My knees were knocking together, and I could feel my heart pounded in my ears. And I said, now whose God is the greatest? They said, your God. I said, get on your knees. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they got on their knees, and out of it came a church that's standing yet today. Amen. Amen. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. It has never lost its power. Amen. Whew. And all we have to do is bow our knee in submission to the authority over us. Amen. And then you will have authority over those to whom you are supposed to have authority. Amen. Amen. What we're trying to do is be the agent without bowing. And we find ourselves powerless . See, I talk to preachers all the time, or they talk to me. God, I got on a plane with one. Yesterday morning, I had driven 2 hours to Milwaukee to catch early flight back to Baton Rouge, and got on the plane, and I thought, well, I'll just kind of sit back. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. I can't tell from your faces. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll just kind of lean back here and rest a little bit, and here he comes. Oh, he said, Brother Greenaway, he said, God ordained this move over. Oh, God, he hung on me from Milwaukee to Baton Rouge. I mean, hung on me like this. Oh, I thought, oh, God. I told Mary about it, and she said, Charles, I hope you were nice. I said I was nice. Don't worry about it. Just say the word. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you know, I talk to pastors, and they tell me about problems they're having that they ought to have power to do something about it. Amen. But they're reading books. They're going to seminars. All you got to do is bow your knee to the authority and say, God Almighty, all that I am, it's yours. Now help me in the name of Jesus with this problem I got. Amen. And God will put the fear of God into somebody. Amen. And make them wish they weren't born. You can't do it, but he can do it. Amen. I know who you are. Because you bowed your knee to your father. He said, you know, you can't see them. But he said, sir, you got 10,000 legions of angels around you. Whew. Who Jesus is. That centurion knew who he was. Amen. They weren't just little Easter or Christmas angels. with little wings we fix up on our kits, and they fly around and put crowns on them to hide their horns, and we make angels out of them. You know, I don't know. You know, I said to Mary the other day, I said, Mary, I used to hear older men say, maybe I've lived too long. And I thought that was dumb. But I know now what they were talking about. You see, I can look clearly at 60 years of Pentecost. And I know what I saw then and know what I'm seeing now. And it bothers me. And I'm having a hard time not saying anything about it. If you'll notice, I don't say anything about it. But I'm concerned because we have taken the place of the authority. Amen. And we're trying to do it by might and power, and it won't work. I was in a church recently, and the pastor told me, he said, pray for me, Brother Greenaway. I don't have a man on my board that has a baptism. Well, I said, why don't you join the Catholic Church? I couldn't believe it. And he was worried because he was losing his authority. And I wanted to tell him that he didn't lose his authority because his deacons weren't baptized. He lost his authority because he forgot where he got authority in the first place. Amen. You get it on your knees. Amen. In submission to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And to realize you're responsible for the condition of the kingdom. Amen. Here on this earth. That's what we are. We're responsible for the kingdom. Amen. That Roman soldier was responsible for the state of the empire. When a Roman soldier failed in the duty, his clothing and his few possessions were piled in a pile. He was laid over it and burned. I said, there's nothing in the middle of the road but a yellow streak and a bunch of dead skunks. No, sir. Every man bows his knee to something. Amen? Every man does.
Don't get scared.
Like the boy that, young fellow that got up and left in the middle of the service. And when the service was over, the pastor got a hold of him and he said, why in the world did you leave that service in the middle of it? He said, I needed a haircut. He said, well, couldn't you have gotten a haircut before service? He said, I didn't need one then. I know who you are. Just say the word. Have we forgotten the name of Jesus? H.B. Garlock was really my mentor in missions. I pastored in Connecticut in the early 40s. I remember it must have been in the 20s that the Garlock family lived in Connecticut. They had a little scrub farm there. To the Garlocks were born a number of boys. One of them's name was Henry, H.B. Garlock, who became, I suppose, in the Assemblies of God, one of the greatest motivators for missions that this movement has ever seen. He was the man that engineered and encouraged them to buy the first mission plane we had, the old Ambassador. Thank God we sold it. But it was that plane that sparked our great Speed to Light program, which put Assembly of God missions 15 years ahead of any other mission in the world. I was just thinking, coming down here last night, that I spent at one time 9 weeks in Texas doing Speed to Light rallies. My Father. But H.B. knew Africa better than any man ever knew Africa. But his parents were two of the early founders of this Pentecostal movement. Some of the first people in the East to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They lived on this small scrub farm. Poor. But you know, out of that family came men who circled the globe and helped plant the cross of Christ. I get amused today when we think we have to have so much, when really what we need, we're ignoring the call and the presence and the power of His name. Amen. Amen. That'll take a man further than all of his learning. Than all of his learning. Dear God, all you got to do is read of Adoniram Judson and William Carey and Hudson Taylor. Those men crawled across the world and preached Christ. Rotted away in prison. Adoniram Judson, I pastored in Boston in 1939. And I was just back recently to dedicate their new $2 million building, whatever. And there were still 8 of the old members there. You know, brethren, live right, do right. And when you're old, it's good. It's good. Amen. Thank God He got a hold of me when I was young. And I was strong. I didn't have any talents. I didn't have anything. Nothing. But He saved me. Filled me with the Holy Ghost. Called me to preach. And sent me to the ends of the earth. And I'm glad. I'm glad God's helped me not to defraud their service. I have just come through the worst storm in all of my 53 years. But I'm here to tell you this morning, He's still the master. Billows His will obey. He won't sink your ship. But into the home of the Garlocks came a young lady who was just starting to preach. Her name was Amy Simple McPherson. And I remember hearing Amy preach so many times. And there was a time when the power of God was on that woman like I've never seen on any human being. You know, we need to pray for people in high places. We need to pray for people that God uses. I don't think we pray enough. Because somewhere there's a chink in the armor and the devil gets in. But Amy and the Garlocks would pray with Amy, and he would help her to get meetings and take her to meetings. I was just with David in Kansas City, and we were going over some of these things. I guess that's why it's fresh in my mind. David now, Garlock, is blind, but he still preaches and still loves God. He's almost 90 years old, still preaching away. And one morning, Ma Garlock had a saucepan of water on the stove, and it was boiling. She was getting ready to make tea. There was a handle on that saucepan sticking out over the stove. And one of the little Garlock boys, toddling by the stove, looked up and saw that handle. And like a child, he reached up and got a hold of it, and he pulled it down over him. He was cooked and he fell on the floor, as good as dead. When Garlock came rushing into that kitchen screaming, started to take his clothes off, and the flesh was coming with him. When Amy walked into the room, David said, "Brother Greenaway," Amy screamed only one word. She said, "Don't touch him," to that mother. And the mother stood back, and Amy screamed three times, "Jesus." That's all she said. She didn't say, "Jesus healing, Jesus you see this." She just said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And he said, when she said it the third time, the kid stood up and looked around in wonderment. And Amy said, "Take your shirt off." And that mother took his shirt off, and that kid's flesh was as pure as the day he was born. Amen. Amen. You don't have to come to my house, sir. All you got to do is say the word. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, we used to sing. Sweetest name I know keeps me singing as I, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. One morning, one of the other little boys crawled under the corral fence. Pa Garlock had a horse that couldn't be broken. And that horse reared when he smelled that child and came down on him with all four hoofs. Smashed that boy's leg. One of the hoofs landed right on his ankle, smashed it. Pa Garlock, hearing the commotion, came running and saw his child. And he laid down and he reached under the corral and pulled that boy out. And when he picked him up, That leg just hung and that foot just flopped around, hanging there by a few tendons. And Paul Garlock carried his little son into the living room and laid him on that, put him on that little couch. And HB said, Dad got down on the other end of the couch and he took that boy's foot in his hand. He said, we were all weeping. He said, brother was unconscious. And my dad began to say, Jesus. He said, that's all he said, Jesus. And he said, I began to see that little foot begin to flutter. And I knew something was going to happen. And he said, finally, that foot would come around just a notch at a time. And finally, my dad, tears streaming down his face, said, Jesus. And he said, I saw that foot coming. I could hear it lock into place in every bone. Was healed. He said, my brother got off of that couch and ran outside. Jesus, man. I'm not kidding you. I'm not telling you some story that is not true. I'm telling you about Jesus. Years later, when that boy was inducted in the military and he was standing in line to go through his physical, they were handed a piece of paper and it said, have you ever had any bones broken? That Garlock boy wrote on there, I have had every bone in my left leg and my left ankle smashed. And when the orthopedic surgeon in line was reading the forms and he came to this one, and he said, hey, call that soldier. Send him home. We don't want a cripple in this army. Then he said to the orderly, wait a minute. Hold that boy. Hold him. I'll tell you what. Maybe he's lying. God doesn't lie. And you never quit believing, man. Hang in there. Tomorrow comes a song. Never quit. I'm amazed preaching in churches where I look out in the congregation and see in some areas 15, Brother Lambert, or 20 retired preachers. Many of them 4 and 5 years my junior sitting out there, they've retired. I don't think they've retired. They gave up. And we're just glad they're old enough to say, I'm retired. I think they gave up. God in heaven, once you put this uniform on of the call of God, you never take it off. You never take it off. It's forever. It's forever. He said, take that boy. Take that boy and x-ray that foot, that leg from every angle. I want the whole story. Bring the x-rays back to me and hold that soldier. They brought in the x-rays and hung them in front of the lights. And that orthopedic surgeon stood there and he looked at those. And he said, My. He said, call that soldier back in here. And they called the Garlock boy in. And that surgeon said, son, I thought you were lying. But he said, there's the story. He said, every bone was broken, some of them crushed, just like you said.
But he said, son, I'm going to tell you something. I've been operating on soldiers for 20 years. I've never seen anything like that. I can't do work like that. He said, that's as near perfect as can be. He said, son, all I want to know from you is, man, do you remember his name? Oh, hallelujah. Do you remember his name? And that boy saluted and said, sir, his name. I remember it. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's stand. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Oh, more about Jesus would I know. More of his saving fullness know. More of his wondrous love to me. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's just the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The reason why I love him so. Hallelujah. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Yes, Jesus is the sweetest. Look up into his face and sing it to him this morning. And he's just the same. Hallelujah. As his love. That's the reason why. Why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ukarabarandala bakuliandala basanda. Ukarabarandala bakiliandala basanda. Ukarabarandala bakuliandala basanda. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, karabarandala basandaya. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Love Jesus because